I want to thank me for believing in me. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Okay, I got an awful lot of stuff to get to. We just got some audio in. I have not even had a chance to preview it. Nicole was just telling me about this. So this was from the U.S. Supreme Court arguments this morning. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And by the way, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was hospitalized last night. We got that word. But she was well enough to participate by phone. And I think they're doing everything remotely at the Supreme Court. But during the arguments at a case they were hearing today, I guess it was earlier this afternoon, when you work remotely, and maybe a lot of you have experienced this, we've seen all these videos. I saw another one today of a news reporter who was doing his story from home, and a half-naked woman walked through the background, and it wasn't his wife. And so we've seen just lots of stories like that floating around. Well, it's hit the U.S. Supreme Court as somebody didn't hit the mute button before they, well, flushed the toilet, apparently.
The subject matter of the call might range beyond the collection of government-backed debt. Maybe they're going to be marketing some other product. Maybe they're going to be saying, hey, call your congressman and change these laws that apply to banks. And what the FCC has said is that when the subject matter of the call ranges to the topic, then the call is transformed. And it's yeah. A call that would have been allowed and is no longer allowed.
The August Hall.
I'm impressed you could keep
the
going.
U.S. Supreme Court. I know it. I know. How do you not just bust up laughing? Except if you're an attorney who, I mean, this is your Super Bowl. If you get to argue a case before the U.S. Supreme Court, and I'm sure they are all just tight as a drum, and they're just not loose enough to just bust up laughing when something like that happens, probably.
My guess was that it was Ruth because she's in the hospital. She was actually, I think she was doing it from the hospital. And you know how they'll just, you know, nurses will walk by and they'll just flush the toilet or whatever. It's because you didn't hear anybody actually go to the bathroom. It was just a flush. So my guess is that.
I bet it wasn't her. She's got bedpans, for crying out loud. I bet she doesn't even have to stroll
across
the room.
But they empty them. That's what I mean. You didn't hear it because they empty the bedpans and flush the toilet like a nurse.
Oh, okay. You have really thought this through. All right, so at least that's the working theory right now. All right. Okay, with that as mere prelude. Oh, no, I've got one more. Nah, I'll save it for awesome audio. I played it right at the beginning of the show. The most freakish bit of prescience that I've ever heard in my life. But you're going to have to just stick around. I'm gonna save it for awesome audio because I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's get to our top story this week.
The Big Lead, top story.
I must say, you know, I was talking about Jay Inslee's press conference yesterday and how frightening it was because he has no message for the unemployed and for the business community. And I'm scared right now about our economy. And what I find so frightening is I, you know, went through this Inslee press conference, and they're just getting more and more painful. I couldn't watch it live or listen live, so I went through it at about 10 o'clock last night, and it's just so painful to do. I didn't play this one earlier, but a few days ago, last week, he used the stupidest analogy, parable, I don't even know what to call it, when he was talking about a skydiver and the chute was slowing his fall, so he cut the straps. There aren't any morons that moronic who would cut the straps on their chute. And I was laughing because I thought, whoever wrote that, man, he should fire that person. Or maybe he wrote it himself. And to my utter shock and amazement, He trotted it out again yesterday.
I'm sorry if you've heard this one before, but it is like the person in the parachute. If you jump out of a plane and you pull your parachute and it slows your descent and you feel pretty good about that, you don't cut the straps right then because you know your fall will accelerate if that happens. And that's the same situation here. We can't cut the straps right now.
You really need a different story because nobody's ever done that. And he goes, it's like that skydiver. Well, which skydiver? Where was that, Jay? How did that not make the news? And then he trots it out again. It is so ridiculous. But so much of it was ridiculous. He unveiled his 3-person task force who are going to help rescue our economy.
Thank you, Governor Inslee. Thank you, first of all, for your leadership as...
Yes, and second
Thank
person.
You, Governor Inslee, to your executive team and members of your cabinet for your wonderful leadership during this...
Yes, and then he introduced the third member.
Thank you, Governor Inslee. I have been so proud to be a Washingtonian under your leadership these last several weeks as we...
So are they all instructed that they must say that at the very beginning? Because that was the first words out of each of the mouths of the 3 people. But then they told us that rescuing the economy is actually going to be all about being social justice warriors because coronavirus is racist.
We also know that our background determines the severity of the pandemic's impact in terms of race and ethnicity, Pacific Islanders, African Americans, Latinx, and indigenous community folks are disproportionately impacted.
Okay, and it also goes after illegals.
People who are undocumented, members of our COFA and other immigrant communities are also disproportionately impacted.
And again, undocumented people are not part of our immigrant community. They are illegals. Immigration is a legal process. But they just were throwing out all of these buzzwords that you always hear far-left politicians use at every opportunity.
And most importantly, in this process of ensuring that we center equity and inclusion.
So equity, inclusion, it's going after illegals. It's going after people of color. And again, if... that's what they're going to be all about, just throwing out their social justice warrior causes. That's not how you rescue an economy. You got to help everybody. You have to help everybody. And you have to stay focused on facts and not your social justice causes. And it just went on and on at this press conference.
I'm super excited to join this distinguished group of experts to ensure that our communities are really well supportive as we move into the next phases of the COVID response. I'm especially committed to making sure our communities of color and our rural counties are appropriately resourced to get Washington back on track.
Yes, our communities of color should be resourced, as should every single person in the state. But they're already drawing these lines. And they're going to make people just try to feel like victims. And they're going to say we have to spend money based on not economic necessity, but on how many boxes somebody checks. And that's not how you rescue an economy. And that's why it was so troubling. And then here was the most infuriating thing from the governor as he revealed that while the private sector has gotten slaughtered economically, Jay Inslee has still not cut one penny from state government.
On the budget situation, I know your team has been looking at and asking staff to prepare, but what specific reductions have been taken or have you ordered be taken to start saving money now?
To answer your second question, I vetoed $445 million of spending a few weeks ago. It was not insignificant. I would point out it was also painful because the vast majority of that money I vetoed, I was sometimes passionately in favor of.
And this is what drives me insane about these Inslee press conferences. The media is not allowed to ask any follow-up questions. And I mean, I've mentioned this before. I wish they treated Inslee with 1/1000th the toughness that the White House press corps treats Trump. The question was, what specific reductions have you made? And he said, oh, I've vetoed $440 million of new spending. In other words, state budget's $54 billion. It was going to be $54.5 billion, but instead it's still at $54 billion. But they're looking at a $7 billion hole, and he has not cut a penny. 20% unemployment in the private sector. Not one penny has been cut in government yet. And that's just an absolute dereliction of duty by Jay Inslee. But he's got a re-election, and he has public employee unions who are critical to his re-election. And so he would rather see the private sector get economically devastated and make sure that he doesn't cut a penny in the government so that he can protect his core constituency for re-election. It was dismaying. It's all going to be about leftist social justice causes, and it's going to be about we're going to create victims if we must. And they have no sense. It was bizarre listening to this yesterday, while so many people remain unemployed. And, you know, I got all these things. So your solution is just, after all this sacrifice and stay at home, let's just throw open the doors to everything, which is such a straw man argument. There isn't one governor in the country who has suggested that, even in the red states. I have certainly never suggested that. I have said that people who can successfully work from home, we've seen the new paradigm, and we should continue to do so. And if you can stay at home, minimize your contact, do it. If you're in a high-risk or marginally high-risk group, you absolutely should continue to stay at home. The young and the healthy, who have almost 0% chance statistically of dying from this, should get back to work. But please stop with this simplistic, so now you just want to open everything up. Nope, never said that. I think, understandably so, that we're going to see restrictions on concert and sporting events and large crowds. And I'm not against that. I'm not against that. I'm not the anti-vaxxer that a lot of people are. I think we're going to need a vaccine before we can, and I don't know when they're going to have that. Have 70,000 people together in a stadium. I don't know. But I'm not against restrictions, and I think people should still work at home, and I think we should all be very careful, and if you need to take care of your own life to protect yourself, do it. But let's let the young and healthy get back to work. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
A few weeks ago, there was the story about the 2-time state champion Eastside Catholic football team, a powerhouse over there in Sammamish. A few weeks ago, the story came out. It's one that, you know, had been circulating. I had certainly heard it for a long, long time, about how 4 Eastside Catholic football players were in the bed of a pickup truck with a 16-year-old girl from another school. She claims she was raped. They were investigated by police for rape. Another Eastside Catholic football player was in the cab of the pickup, video recording this gang sexual serial sex with a 16-year-old girl. Absolutely disgusting, reprehensible behavior. And Eastside Catholic knew about it, and they decided their values are far more important, or far less important, than winning trophies. And, I mean, on their website, they quote John Paul II, the human spirit must be cultivated in such a way that there results a growth in its ability to wonder, to understand, to contemplate, to make personal judgments, and to develop religious, moral, and social sense. They have a code of justice for all of their students that doesn't include gang sexual, whatever you want to call it, of a 16-year-old girl in the bed of a pickup truck while being videotaped or video recorded by a teammate. Well, now the latest has come out. Jeff Baker at the Seattle Times, Susanna Frame at King 5, both had great coverage of this last night, that several Eastside Catholic football stars were involved in a huge parking lot brawl right before the start of last season, before they defended their state championship. And the details from the police documents that the Times and King 5 obtained, again, shocking, because these football stars were under investigation by law enforcement for assault, and the school did nothing. Now, let me talk about the school for a little bit here. Because I heard about this brawl the weekend it happened. People contacted me, told me, do you know half the Eastside Catholic football team was involved in a gigantic brawl? We looked into it a little bit, but we didn't have police documents like the Seattle Times and King 5 have now obtained. And indeed, what one of the people who got hold of me said is in one of the police documents, that one eyewitness said he thought about half the Eastside Catholic football team was involved in a sprawl. Two alleged victims were beaten and bruised. One of them was put in a chokehold. There's videotape or video record. We don't have tape anymore. I always try to catch myself. The videos, according to police reports, showed one player grabbing an alleged victim in a chokehold from behind. Another blindsided a teen with a punch and knocked him unconscious. The police recommended felony charges against both Eastside Catholic football players. A third player was said by police to be curb stomping a teen defenseless on the ground. I don't know if the police know what curb stomp means, if they called it a curb stomp, because unless the definition has changed, what I understand a curb stomp to be is you tell somebody to, they're laying on their belly, and you tell them to bite, put their mouth on the corner of a curb, and then you stomp down on their head, breaking all of their teeth. It often kills the victim. It always results in horrific injuries. It doesn't sound like that definition of curb stomp is what is in this police report. But they said a third player was said by police to be seen curb stomping a teen. He was initially charged with misdemeanor assault. But like the sexual serial sex with the 16-year-old girl, it goes to the prosecutor's office and it disappears. And in the Seattle Times story, they say a Seattle lawyer who was a godmother to a player got 8 sworn statements from eyewitnesses not interviewed by police, and the prosecutors eventually dropped all the charges. But that's where I get to the school. If I heard about it the weekend this happened, less than a year ago, I guarantee you the school knew about it. But unbelievably, they issued a statement yesterday, Eastside Catholic did, saying that we are deeply dismayed and concerned both by the behavior itself and that this information is only now coming to light. It is clear, and that's the lie, only now this information is coming to light. If I heard about it, they heard about it. I do not believe when Eastside Catholic says we're just now finding out about it. But I told you when they had the serial sex of the 16-year-old girl, when I was coaching just a couple years ago in the high school, I had a rule, as do most coaches. If you are at a gathering where alcohol or weed or any drug is present, even if you don't drink or imbibe, you will be suspended a minimum of 30 days and you might be kicked off the team. That was the range of punishment. And public schools have far less discretion than private schools. But at this faith-based, character-building Eastside Catholic, they do nothing about it because they cared about winning football games more than upholding the values that they espouse. When parents pay $27,000 a year to send their kids there, they tell them all about, from their website, there is no greater or more worthy challenge than educating and nurturing our students to become whole human beings. Yeah, it's all words. All they care about is winning and winning and winning. I guarantee you the coaches knew about this. I guarantee you the administration knew about this, because I knew about it, and they are all 1,000 times closer to the situation than I am. And if I would have kicked a kid off a team, and most respectable coaches would kick a kid off the team or at least suspend them 30 days if they're at a gathering where somebody else is drinking. But at Eastside Catholic, you can knock another human being unconscious, allegedly, according to the police documents. You can be present when a teammate allegedly knocks another human being unconscious, and no repercussions. I would be so ashamed. I would be so ashamed. And, you know, there have been teams, you know, recruiting violations. And they've been stripped, you know, the South girls basketball team, stripped of their state title. How did Eastside Catholic keep all these star football players eligible? And I don't even know that they should keep their state titles after all of this, you know, cesspool of information that's been spewing forth. But prosecutors, man, they couldn't file any charge, or the police recommended serious felony charges. Prosecutors did not. It's interesting, isn't it? That's the big lead. Lots more to do on the Dory Monson Show. There's the interesting thing that happened at the Jay Inslee press conference. The other interesting thing. Okay, the only interesting thing. The only thing that was less than horribly boring. I don't know what to call it. But you might have heard Monday afternoon, I talked to Bob Martin, who owns a barbershop in Snohomish. They've been open for almost three weeks now today, in defiance of Jay Inslee's stay-at-home order. Barbershops, hair salons still are not allowed to open. And when I talked to Bob, I found out he was a 79-year-old Marine Corps veteran, that he started cutting hair in 1960 when he was a kid in the Marines. And he told me that he needs to make a living once again. And he has two disabled vets that he's hired to be barbers in his shop. And they have kids, and they need to start feeding their family. And so Jay Inslee was asked about the Snohomish barber who was on our show.
This person you referred to in Snohomish County, they're going to have to come into compliance. I've actually been advised that they're an effort, because people are very upset about this. There's been over 100 people complain about that person not helping Washingtonians to save our loved ones.
So we're basing decisions on number of complaints? If that was the case, Jay, I would have been off the air 24.999 years ago. That just because there have been 100 complaints, there have been thousands, I believe, who have driven from all over Western Washington to support Bob Martin. But we have an idea of what could happen to Bob the barber, based on what's happening down in Texas right now, where there is a beauty salon order. Again, they must stay closed. But Shelley Luther, she said, no, I'm going to open up. I need to make a living. I'm not eligible for unemployment. And she ripped up the stay closed order in front of a crowd and in front of the media. And she had her day in court yesterday.
A determination has been made that you are in contempt of this court. If you would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge that your actions were selfish, putting your own interests ahead of those of the community in which you live.
Judge Eric Moyer offered.
Okay, that was the judge, and he told her, I won't send you to jail if you acknowledge that you were selfish and put your own interests ahead of the community.
For Luther, a chance to avoid jail time. He asked if she would apologize, acknowledge she was wrong, and agree to shut down her business until Friday. but Luther would not yield.
I have to disagree with you, sir, when you say that I'm selfish, because feeding my kids is not selfish. I have hairstylists that are going hungry because they'd rather feed their kids. So, sir, if you think the law is more important than kids getting fed, then please go ahead with your decision, but I am not going to shut the salon.
The judge sentenced her to serve 7 days in jail.
Take this defendant into custody, if you please.
1 day behind bars for each day her business opened its doors, while so many others stayed shut.
Okay. Does this scare anybody? Again, we have a country with anywhere from 15 million to 30 million illegals. In our state, they have sanctuary. Our local government, because, again, just like Bob Martin, as a citizen, the Snohomish barber, has decided that he is not going to follow this law because he wants to continue to make a living. But that's what politicians do every day. Jay Inslee, Dow Constein, Jenny Durkin, the Snohomish County Executive, they are all supporters of sanctuary. They have decided they are not going to follow that law about cooperating with the feds on illegals. So if politicians, you know, Dan Satterberg has unilaterally legalized drugs, all drugs, meth, heroin in King County. If Inslee and Dow and Jenny and Satterberg, if they can all decide which laws they are not going to follow, how can you tell a barber, a citizen, you can't choose? And this is where we've gotten into bizarro world, that politicians can ignore laws. But if a citizen does that, they can haul him off to jail. And in Texas, they have done so. So Jay Inslee said yesterday that Bob must come into compliance. And are they going to haul him off to jail? I mean, we are far to the left of Texas. And if they're taking somebody who defies their stay-at-home to jail for 7 days, it's going to be interesting to see if Jay Inslee, who chooses which laws he is going to ignore, is going to put a citizen in jail for choosing a law that the citizen ignored. And I did get Bob back on the show a couple of hours ago, and I said, so what if they come for you now, Bob? If they drag you to court, what if they do? I mean, we're farther left than Texas by a light year. What if they take you to court and tell you they're going to send you to jail because you kept your barbershop open?
That's why I have constitutional lawyers that are chomping at the bit to take this case if they want to push it. So I'm relying on their expertise to fight it.
What if they do that with the same speed that they're doing it to the salon owner down in Texas? Because the constitutional lawyers, they wouldn't be able to save you from immediate jail. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine.
I don't care about the media. The media, that's the trouble with this country. The media, just like Trump says, the fake media, fake news and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They twist things around the way they want to have it, and they want people to believe what their BS is and make up their own mind. These people, everybody that's coming here to do this, support this cause, it's not the shop, it's the cause,
right,
are all patriots. We're all patriots. I'm a patriot, and they're supporting a patriot.
So, as I said when I wrote about this on Monday, it's an Old West showdown in Snohomish. Jay Inslee at his press conference yesterday says Bob must come into compliance, and Bob just told me this afternoon he is not going to close his shop. Now, I know a lot of you disagree with Bob, think it's reckless, think it's dangerous. But again, can somebody who's against Bob logically explain to me, because I think, you know, having illegals here, you know, one of whom murdered a Kittitas County deputy last year, it's Ryan Thompson. I always want to respect and honor his name. I think having illegals here is dangerous. And, you know, we have the murder of a cop to back up my feeling about that. Jay Inslee can ignore a law, and that leads to the murder of a cop. And they say, well, but the citizen can't ignore the law because it might lead to health concerns. Seems very inconsistent to me. And let me take a real quick time out, and then we will count down our favorite sound bites of the day, including the most freakish, prescient audio you will ever hear. It's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. The stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. The show's flown by today. I can't believe we're almost through. That's incredible. Okay, it is time to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Nancy Pelosi, in an interview a little earlier today, she was asked once again. The Joe Biden sexual assault allegation, it's killing Joe Biden with Democrats. More than a quarter think he should be replaced as the nominee. The Daily Kos, which is a far-left website, they just released a poll. According to their poll, Trump's approval rating is 43%. Biden is 36% approval. And Nancy Pelosi, though, she says, yeah, I'm done talking about Joe's alleged sexual assault.
Number three.
Do you view this as a closed issue, or what is your response?
Well, it is for me. I have said I am proud to support Joe Biden for president. I believe him when he says it didn't happen. But I also believe him when he said let them look into the records. And that's what they should do. But I'm not going to answer this question again.
Oh, she's not going to talk about it anymore. You didn't believe Kavanaugh when he said it didn't happen. Democrats are all about the Me Too movement, and all women must be believed unless a Democrat is the alleged assailant. Speaking of alleged assailants, Joe Biden. Man. He's still struggling with talking.
Number two.
The pandemic is that the president has no intercourse whatsoever with the rest of the world on dealing with these things. We led, like Barack Obama led in the in the pandemic that occurred when we were in office. It was kept in Africa. We organized the world. We put things together.
He just couldn't remember the name of the pandemic that occurred when they were in office. And if you can diagram that sentence for me. Man, I would appreciate it. And at number one, this is the most freakish bit of prescience I've ever seen. A listener sent this to me this morning. It happened on this date, May 6th, 1993. The Simpsons was in its fourth year on television. It's still going. But this was its heyday. Man, seasons 3 through 9, The Simpsons was as brilliantly written as any show on TV. But there was a virus going through Springfield, and a mob gathered outside the hospital where Dr. Hibbard was hanging out the window. And I'll describe the visual at the end, but this truly is the most freakishly prescient thing I have ever seen.
Number one.
We need a cure!
Why, the only cure is bed rest. Anything I give you would only be a placebo.
Where do we get these placebos?
Maybe there's some in this truck.
And then they tip over the truck and a crate labeled Killer Bees come swarming at the crowd. So 27 years ago today. That aired, and now we have the Asian murder hornets. They're freaking people out. What a media hype creation that Asian killer hornets are. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, another listener on Twitter, is it too late to get the Seattle NHL team to change its mascot to the murder hornets? He sent a logo of a angry, murderous-looking bee carrying a hockey stick. I like it. I'm guessing it is too late, but I like it. All right, that's it. Can't believe it flew by so fast. appreciate you hanging out with us. You take care. God bless you in these crazy times. Tom and Curly are coming up next, and we will see you right back here tomorrow at high noon. Take care.
I don't get it.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.